seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course he would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Well, it's 2 p.m. Irish time. You're very welcome to our Sunday watch-along for the Masters, the very first watch-along of the year. And what looked on Friday night like we might be in for a coronation has, over the course of a very, very exciting Saturday, transformed into the most wide-open Sunday, maybe since 2019, and Tiger's epic win. Delighted to say, joined by Gary and Dave. Lance, you're very welcome. And all the way from his home in North Carolina, which is but a mere 4.5 hour drive from the gates of Augusta National, Shane Ryan. Gents, you're very, very welcome. Apologies for the slight delay in getting going. It's always those technical issues with StreamYard, a very, very good service, but can be a little glitchy at times. I'm looking at you, Dave McIntyre.
Yeah, well, I've had a long, long Masters Sunday, Fiona, of dodging fuel protests from the south west all the way up to Dublin. So my patience has been wearing thin for the last few hours, but you guys are calming me right down. Looking forward to the chat and what should be an epic day.
Well, let's get over. So as we're still a few hours away from tee off, I guess to get your overall thoughts of the tournament so far. Dave, have you enjoyed it?
Nah, it's not been much fun at all, is it? It's been as the thing about the Masters, it's only very, very seldom do your expectations fail to be met, but more often than not, they're exceeded. And because it's the first major of the year, because it's the only one of the four majors, the way we return to the same course every year, and because the level of anticipation and expectation is so great, it's incredible that our expectations continue to be surpassed. And the last 3 days have been absolutely magic. From watching Rory the way he's played the first 2 days and Mickelson style spraying the ball all over the golf course and still getting into the hole and finding himself six clear, to the debate over is it already over, but wasn't he four shots clear heading in down the back nine on the last year, and he actually lost the lead at one point, so you know it's not over. And then after what happened last night, even the way Rory played in the last five or six holes, played in two under par, and the way Young played, and we've got 11 guys within five of the lead, six of those are current or previous major champions. It's been a magical 3 days, and it's delivered everything I wanted and more.
Mm. Gary, as the only legit golfer amongst us, I say that with all respect to the
I've broken 85 times in my life, Fionn, so you may want to take that one back.
Okay. Do you know what? Well, then I'm going to say, I think Gary's broken 80 a couple of times recently as well. What's the one where they keep asking, like, under the conditions that they play the Masters in, like a typical 15 handicapper would struggle to break 100, such is the challenge of the course. Gary, I'll joke, as the pro here, like, what are you seeing over the first 3 days? Is it meeting your expectations? Are you enjoying it? What's overall thoughts?
Well, I think from a home point of view, we had three players teed off on Thursday, and we've got two of them, you know, within in contention tonight, which is, you know, dreamland stuff, really. Disappointing for Tom McKibben, but it's his first Masters and he learned from it. Rory makes the sensational, I'm relaxed, I really enjoy this tournament start with 67-65. He's got a six-shot lead. And I had quite a few members show me their betting slips on the range yesterday morning, that they'd backed Rory and this thing is over. And as I said to them, nobody gets paid on a Saturday, so it's never going to be over until it's over. I didn't really foresee him increasing his lead at all. I didn't see him losing his lead, but I think it's just perfectly poised. The supporting cast is phenomenal. And there's so many different variances of, if you're going to kind of mess it up a little bit, Saturday's the perfect day to do it and not Sunday. So that would be my wish my hope for McIlroy tonight. And then the Shane Lowry story with the hole in one again. And as Dave was saying, it's been three awesome days of golf with so many different storylines. And we're still guessing as to what the outcome is going to be. And that's exactly what you wish for.
Shane, you don't have the, or necessarily have the Irish glasses on, so perhaps you can see it from a slightly more holistic view. You know, no, we obviously on this side of the pond, like, we have vested interest in, well, two of the players now. But overall, as someone sitting watching it in the US, like, what's your overall take?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I said this before the round yesterday, so this is not just pure hindsight, but I thought the way Rory shot his scores on Thursday and Friday, especially Friday, hinted that we may be in for a little bit of trouble on Saturday. Like Gary, I'm not saying I predicted he would lose all six shots, but you're not going to keep going in the woods, pitching out, and then chipping in for birdie, right? That is not a sustainable way to do it. And that's not to devalue the great shots he made, but it just didn't seem sustainable the way he was playing without being more accurate with the driver. And so that, to me, is why we were talking before we went on. I wouldn't pick him to win today. He certainly could, but I wouldn't pick him because I haven't seen any reason to believe that he's going to drive any straighter on the fourth day than he did on the first 3 days. But yeah, no, it's been an incredible show from the very beginning. I had a little food for thought, speaking of the Irish goggles on. I think if Rory had bogeyed the 18th or he finished at 10 under some way, he and Lowry would be together today. Mm. And, you know, nobody would ever actually do this on the course, but thinking, you know, the fan game theory, I was like, I wonder if he was one shot worse, if he would be better off today. Maybe they'd both be better off. They'd have such a comfortable pairing. They could both try to go low. You know, instead he's playing with Cam Young, who really is probably playing the best of anybody in the world right now, and can match Rory off the tee, one of the few players who can do that. So, yeah, I think you were dead on that this is such a wide open Sunday, and it's going to be, you know, the next 5-6 hours are going to go very slowly until these guys tee off, and I just can't wait.
Rory, I mean, and even like on Friday evening, the general consensus was this remarkable score, which was garlanded by four consecutive birdies to finish the round, didn't match the quality of his play, that he wasn't really playing particularly brilliant. He wasn't great off the tee. He had that little kind of pull with his irons. And yesterday, I thought, he pulled irons. Gary, you know, you keep me honest here. He pulled irons on 11 that cost him double. He pulled an iron on 12 that cost him bogey. And even though he managed to make the putt on 14, that was a pulled iron that ended up where his target line was originally and not. So if he doesn't get, like, and we'll talk about Scottie Scheffler in a minute, but Scottie Scheffler put on like an unbelievable striking display yesterday to go 7 under, but, or to shoot a 7 under round. Like, what do you see in Rory that is the biggest challenge for him today? Is it all of it? Is it, or the irons? Because the irons just look just a little. And then, of course, then he threw in that beautiful 7 iron on 15, which we know he can hit. So on Firethorn. So
I think I always look for him is his body language. And I just thought he looked, when he was coming out of the clubhouse before the round yesterday, I thought he looked edgy. But then he did really, really well on the front nine. He made some mistakes and he just tidied up, pulled a lot of nice 5-6 footers for par, did the hard work, then birdie 10. He didn't hit that bad a shot on 11, to be honest. Like, there was, that was probably 4 yards left to where he was trying to go. I think he just never seemed on it. To answer your question, his miss is a little left. He's, you know, when he gets a bit of sink, he just pulls the shot. Some people, their miss is right. His is a little left. It can be an alignment thing most of the time. Because
Ben Hogan with it is, Ben Hogan has that advice on 11: never ever go left on 11 ever. That's, you know, that advice is 65 years old. Do you think he was looking at it and went, "Ooh, I think I'll have a little, you know, I'm going to go at it a little bit."
I don't think so. I think, you know, he's a great awareness. He's had undoubtedly a different strategy this week. He has decided to smash driver and go after it and find it and hit it again. And it served him very well. If he can get, and I think he alluded to it a little bit last night, he likes his pairing today. He likes playing with Cam Smith. I think
Cam Young.
I think personally, he can feed off his rhythm. Sometimes when you're playing with certain players with a certain rhythm, it can help your game. It's not a slugfest between the two of them because they're both, you know, similar. There'll be a bounce. You know, they're not going, I'm a longer driver than you sort of stuff. So I think he can feed up Sam Burns. Whilst he played awesome last night and he's very much in it, he's a little bit different. So Rory had Cameron Young's number in Dubai a couple of years ago, final round. He schooled him a little bit. He schooled him the first 2 days. I think he'll have his chest out in the first tee today. Cam Young is in the situation tonight that Rory was in yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Dave. You know, everything's there to fail when you have a 6-shot lead. It's a different mindset tonight. Cam Young is trying to back up a 65. That's not easy either. I don't see this. Now, he's playing amazing golf, but it's another step up in class. We were saying it at the start of the week. You know, is there going to be a first-time winner or is there going to be a new winner of a major? He's got to come over that hurdle. Emotionally, McIlroy should have a bit in hand on him, but you still have to go out and execute it.
Yeah. Dave, Cam Young is third in the world. He won the Players. He is an elite ball striker. Obviously, and as Calvin 8046 has pointed out, he has momentum. He was 4 over after the front nine on Thursday. So he's just been playing better and better and better. Now, he had 3 outrageous slices of luck yesterday, like the one that hit the chair and
carooned.
That was unbelievable. And then also, he was looking at lost ball on 13 and it just hit the tree and bounced right back out into the fairway. But, you know, you take your luck where you can. Like, where do you see Cam Young, given that, look, he obviously hasn't accomplished quite as much as Rory or anywhere near as much as Rory, but he is in the hot seat at the moment. He's playing superb golf. As I said, he's the Players' Champion. Like, where do you see him today?
It's difficult to know because he's in unknown territory from his point of view. You know, he's gone to sleep last night tied for the lead at Augusta National, and that old cliche is until we see him get around Eamon Corner tonight, if he's still in the lead, we won't have a real true reflection of what he's capable of. But that tee shot he hit on the 72nd hole at Sawgrass gives you a little bit of an insight into how he deals with pressure on the big occasion. Now, that's not quite as ramped up as it might be maybe at around 10 o'clock tonight, 11 o'clock tonight, but it's a little bit of a view as to what he might be capable of. Playing with McIlroy as well, it'd be interesting to see where the crowd are going. Are they shouting for Rory? Are they shouting for the American in that 2-ball? He was very close to a double bogey on 2 or 3 occasions yesterday. I mean, the slices of luck he had were absolutely incredible. The one that held up on the fringe of the green and instead of rolling back into the water, he even actually fist-pumped that moment, knowing how fortunate he was. That is not going to happen today. We saw Rory run out of luck yesterday and started paying the penalty for all of the risks that he took in the first 2 days. So I think Cam Young, anyone who's backed him, will be confident that he'll show up tonight. But it's uncharted waters for him, as it is for an awful lot of those guys. At least Rory has been through the mill so many times, has come through it. And Gary's point is a really good one. If you're going to throw a 73 in, better do it on Saturday when you've got a 6-shot lead, because Rory is in a similar situation as to where he was walking off the 18th green last year, gutted that he'd missed the putt to win the tournament. And Harry Diamond quickly hit the reset button for him and said, we would have taken a playoff on Monday morning when we rocked up here down Magnolia Lane. But he could have said the exact same thing yesterday. If we'd offered it to you on Sunday when you came, or whatever day he arrived, that you would be in a tie for the lead overnight on Saturday night, he would have bitten your hand off. And that's exactly where he is.
Shane, I saw Cam last night was saying that he thinks that the home fans will actually be cheering more loudly for Rory than him today, but he's okay with that. Now, that seems, I mean, I was going to say it's an extraordinary thing. I don't think it is, given that Rory is the bona fide star of the field. But from your perspective and what the American media are saying, how are they looking at Cam Young's chances against, you know, the defending Masters champ?
Well, you know, I just think there's the momentum thing is probably skewing people a little bit more toward Cam Young. As for the gallery question, I think 100% they're going to be cheering more for Rory. He's just a bigger name. And when it's not an international competition, right, so you're not talking about the Olympics or the Ryder Cup or whatever, the U.S. is not really going to be that partisan for their own players. They're going to be partisan for the people they know and like better. So they'll cheer more for Rory. I don't think that'll be a big deal for either one of them. They're both going to be so nervous that, you know, that's not going to make the difference. But yeah, you know, the Cam Young thing, going back to what Gary said, I would disagree with a little bit with Gary that Rory's going to have this advantage. And I thought of a comparison, and it was the U.S. Open at L.A. CC with Wyndham Clark, where, again, you have a situation where, yeah, Rory's got more experience, and he's certainly a bigger name, and Wyndham Clark has never won a major before. But there is a sense with certain guys that they're just in the full swing of momentum at the moment. Wyndham Clark was at that point. He's been playing really, really well. And that's just how I feel about Cam Young. What Dave was saying, again, the players is one thing. There's a pretty good deal of nerves with that, but the Masters is on a whole different level. Sure. So that could be completely skew what I'm saying. But it just feels like, you know, these guys get into these 1 or 2 year surges where all of a sudden they've got it. They've just got the energy. They've got everything. And Cam Young feels like that to me now. So just like I thought Wyndham was going to beat Rory in L.A., I just think Cam Young's going to beat him today. So, but your point is good. I mean, Cam Young had luck too, right? So it's not like he's playing invincibly and Rory's getting lucky. Cam Young had some incredible breaks yesterday. And I'll tell you what, one of those guys, or maybe Lowry or Rose or somebody else, is going to have unbelievable luck today too. You know, you think of when Fred Couples won and the ball stayed up on the edge, I think on 13, where it had no business doing that. It should have gone into the water. Luck will find you. Luck is going to find somebody today. And it could, you know, with how tight the leaderboard is, it could play a big part. So, yeah, again, I keep going back to it, but this is highly, highly dramatic stuff. I think Young, just on the merits of how he's played, but it's all up in the air.
One of the things, and yes, Cam Young had luck, but I thought, like, he got wet on 15. Like he said himself, he was so conscious about not going over the back of the green that he slightly underhit that wedge. But I thought his fifth shot was, under that unbelievable amount of pressure, was sublime. To almost like kick in bogey, not quite kick in, but whatever, he put it, what, 2.5 feet?
I think the big thing on that was hitting it from the same spot. You know, he just underhit it.
Yeah.
And that's shown a lot of savvy. You know, there was no panic button there at all. I just think he's been chasing hard since Thursday afternoon. And he's now, you know, in pole position. So slightly different dynamic.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him win. You know, if you take your Irish hat off, I'd love to see him win. I think he's a fabulous player. He plays the game pretty quickly. He seems to be a reasonable enough character. And he's an exciting talent, you know. And I think America are probably crying out for a couple of new names to win some majors. So it's all in front of him. It's all between the ears tonight.
We're going
to
get...
I think to your point, Gary... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just saying, I think for everybody on that leaderboard, there's a certain, including Rory, there's almost a certain advantage with how tightly packed it is, and especially with how low the scores were yesterday, where there's nobody going to be playing defensive. Now, I don't think Rory was necessarily playing defensive yesterday, but probably hard not to let that mindset creep in when you're 6 shots in the lead. But today, it's like you're going to have to go hit a 67, right? You're not going to win if you don't do that. And so that, I think that's the cool part for Young, for Rory, for everybody, is that it's, you know, it's blinders off. Like they've got to go and score. And I think that's going to make for some aggressive play and probably, you know, a few big mistakes too.
We're going to go down and we'll go through the field. Well, certainly down to say maybe the top 10 to see where each is. But the reason, obviously, we're focusing on Cam Young and Rory is not only are they in the final group, but the stat is 30 of the last 35 winners have come out of the final pairing. The last time a winner wasn't in the final grouping was Danny Willett, which is really quite something. So odds are that the winner is going to be Cam Young or Rory McIlroy, and which is, I mean, again, odds are there to be upset because sitting directly behind them on 10 under, and I thought he played absolutely brilliantly yesterday with Sam Burns, who was like low-key amazing because like he's playing with Rory. He just got through the round really, really nicely. And, you know, for a guy who's statistically, if he's not the best putter in the world, like he's definitely one of, but I thought he just played exceptional. But do you see him being a factor today? Any of you? Is that you, Dave, banging stats on you, looking for
looking for info?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, Gary, you were going to say.
Absolutely, he's a shot behind. You know, Shane Lowry is two shots behind. There's Rose. I think Rose, you know, excuse me, he's three behind. That's a totally different game of golf to what Cam Young and Rory have on the first tee. So these, they're not freewheeling, because obviously if they make a fast start and get in the mix, but certainly, you know, there's so many different permutations. You know, if Rory and Young get off to a flat start, we've seen it many times. I know history says the winners come from the final group, but there's definitely five or six guys can still win this easily. And yeah. Sam Burns would probably be one of the, you know, the pick of those. I do think it's a really good pairing for Lowry. I think it's a better pairing than playing with Rory. And he's, you know, he's not quite in the final group, but he's where you want to be. Mm. Definitely the front nine, I think. I know it starts in the back nine, as everyone once says, but the front nine is super key for all these guys. You got to be looking at 14 under wins, maybe 15. So 8-9 under par, you're talking about a serious round of golf to get it done. So they have to be aggressive on the front nine.
So Shane, we've got, so obviously Young, McIlroy on 11, Burns on 10, Larry's on 9, and then you have Day and Rose on 8, Scheffler and Haotong Li on 7 under, despite Haotong Li's like that horrific top that I'm all too familiar with, by the way, can I just say?
Yeah.
Sitting on 7. Is that realistically, and I'd agree with Gary, if 14 is the target number here, like, are Cantlay, Henley, and Patrick Reed on 6, are they just a little too far back to realistically be expected to really make a charge that counts?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it would take a Johnny Miller kind of thing, right? It would take an unbelievably spectacular final round for the 6-under guys to get there. 7-under guys, you know, Haotong Li's not going to do it. Scottie Scheffler definitely could, but even at that score, you're looking at, like, would duplicating the 65 be enough? That would get him to what, a 14 under. So, you know, maybe that's enough. Maybe 14 under is barely enough, but I almost think it's going to go to 15. So I'm not even sure a 65 for Scheffler would be good enough. For some reason, I know he's only a shot better, but Justin Rose, I think, is scary today. I think he's got the experience. I think he's got the preparation. He knows the course like the back of his hand. He's going to play well under pressure. So he's a guy for me where if you see Sam Burns play like he did at the U.S. Open last year, a little shaky. If you see Lowry play like he did under pressure at the Cognizant, where he's losing shots, you know, right, and not particularly handling the pressure well, and then maybe Young and McIlroy, because they're so nervous being in the final group, let's say they each shoot a 70 and they get to 13 under. All of a sudden, if Rose puts up a 66, I can see him stealing this by one. Could Jason Day do it? Maybe. I don't know if he's got the recent experience to handle the pressure quite as well. But, yeah, if he does win, you know, clip this and say, hey, Shane called it. Justin Rose is dangerous today.
And Dave, I mean, obviously, I think Justin Rose would be a lot of people's romantic favorite. Like,
yeah, just he was my pick. He was my pick on Wednesday. Let's remember that. Yeah, I think the fact that he's in the third group out, or the third last group out, I think – is similar to where he was last season. He was last year, where he just kind of stormed through the field almost unbeknownst to people. Even when you look at the two documentaries that McIlroy's been involved with, the one on Amazon and then the YouTube, where he's going through every shot that he hit last year, he says it's really only around the 10th, 11th, 12th holes he started to realize that Justin Rose was a significant factor on that leaderboard. Yes, he's a bit closer to the lead this time around. He's the third last group out, but I think Rose and Day can quietly go about their business here. A lot of attention, obviously, will be on Rory and Cam Young, and then the group in behind them. And Rose will just go play his game. He never gets too upset, although he did react to a shot yesterday, which I haven't really seen from before, where he almost wrapped the club around his own neck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he nearly took a swipe of the grass and then thought, no.
Very Rosie-like. Don't touch anything. Yeah, look, if it isn't one of the two Irish guys, I would absolutely love to see Rose win it. That would be amazing.
I would love to see Rose, Gary, but Rose needs to make putts, and he's not making that many. like I heard someone describe, it's like the secret to Rose's longevity is he makes rakers, and he's not making that many rakers at the moment.
But he hasn't done. It's been more solid. But listen, it's a four-round tournament, and if you're going to have your best putting week, have it on a Sunday. That's the best time possible to have it. And he is, you know, he has a lot of previous in coming from behind here and charging. He hasn't quite gotten over the line yet. But I do think, like, three shots psychologically is not that insurmountable. Six, you're thinking, I have to have the perfect day. And sometimes you can get a bit of bit tetchy when you're trying that. So he's in a good, I wouldn't say he's on the bridle in the middle of the pack, but he's certainly in a nice position. And the early starters, or the early starts of these guys' rounds have to be good. You know, they have to push, but you got to be at least, you know, a couple under through six or seven. That would be a target for a lot of them. Nick something on eight. And then, you know, try get to double figures before the turn. That'll be the marker for a lot of these guys to gauge.
Gary, one of those guys is one of those guys going to make birdie on one. They're going to have a putt for an eagle on two and maybe hole it. And we've seen a couple of players drive the third, as McIlroy did brilliantly yesterday. I think one of those guys is going to play the first three holes in three under par and be leading by the time McIlroy's hitting his first putt of the afternoon.
Mm, wow. Well, it's like Patrick Reed did yesterday, right? It's like would you have predicted yesterday after Patrick Reed birdied the first three holes, what would you have said his final score would be, right? So that's that's the other thing about it. It's different on a Sunday, isn't it? Where if all of a sudden you're roaring, you're like, oh my God, somebody's at 11 under and I haven't even hit a shot yet. That's a completely different animal on a Sunday. That's got to get in your head.
This is a question for you, Shane. Sorry, Dave. We'll get back to your content, which I think is a strong possibility or certainly a realistic one. Shane, I heard that Patrick Reed was doing a corporate sponsor event on Friday night. Like, with one of his, like, I mean, look, everyone's, that's the maddest thing I've ever heard. Like, what in the name of Christ are you doing that? Like, would you not be just singularly focused? I'm not saying that because he was distracted by a corporate event on Friday night that he ended up playing relatively badly on Saturday to leave him on six under and more or less out of the tournament, especially after birding the first three holes. But like, what? Like, I've never heard of a thing of like, sure, you do it on a Monday or a Tuesday or even maybe a Wednesday, but once the tournament starts, surely like your only focus has to be the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the details of that. I hadn't heard that. It's also, you know, the only reason I hesitate to comment is those things are probably all made a little bit differently. I mean, does this mean he was out drinking till 2 a.m.? Almost definitely not. No, but you know, I know what you mean. But I mean, let's say you're out at Augusta and, you know, and Friday, you've done well, it's Friday night. Your choices are either go do a sponsor event for an hour and a half, be distracted a little bit, or sit at home and think about the day to come. I mean, I could see a world in which you're like, all right, yeah, this is a great time to do it. I'd rather be out meeting people and distracted than thinking about what's going to come. So your point may be right. It's just, I don't know the specifics or what his normal routine is. Maybe this is something he does a lot. So it's kind of hard to comment a little bit on that.
And also it's worth pointing out that I was talking to Gav Cooney of the 42 the other day, who's at Augusta, and I was saying, oh, I think really the danger to Rory is coming from Patrick Reed or Cam Young. And like you, Shane, I was very surprised that Patrick Reed isn't, you know, in the business end of the leaderboard at the moment. Given one is that he's won around here before. He's an unbelievable player. He's actually in unbelievably good form as well. Terrific, like all around terrific game. And I don't think he'd be a popular winner. even he's from Georgia, isn't he, Shane?
So he went to school at Augusta. He's not, you know, he didn't grow up in Georgia, but he played his golf and won two national championships at a small school called Augusta State.
So, and even like when he would make good shots, I was watching him over the first couple of days, like the applause is so muted for him. It's like, local boy who's the least popular local boy I can think of. Dave, sorry, the point you were making. Go on.
He's very popular on the European tour.
Yes, because he's one of the few Americans that actually comes and embraced. I totally agree. Like, I think
at the Irish Open last year, all our kids that were doing the locker rooms and stuff said he was absolutely fantastic to all of them. So I think he's softened his persona a lot in recent times.
I hope he has, because he's a terrific talent. And even though he has let's not get into it, but he has a murky relationship with the rules. Dave, to your point that by the time Rory and Young tee off, somebody could have joined them on 11 under, is really, given that you can drive three if you're big enough, mm-hmm. Let's take Scottie Scheffler, who's on 7 and needs a fairly hot start to give himself any chance at all. I can see him birding 1, obviously can see him birding 2, and can see him getting up close and with his short game, giving himself a tap-in birdie on 3.
He drove the green on 3 on Friday, and the team maybe moved up for the final round to encourage players to really go after it. One of those players from 7, the 7-8s, 9s, someone's going to go low. There's 5 or 6 of them, and they're hugely talented. Someone is going to go really low across that first 3 or 4 holes. Look, you remember in 2011, now I know so many of those demons were laid to rest last year, but Charles Schwartzel held out early, and he was under par big time and quickly, and Rory's 4-shot lead was never realistically a 4-shot lead at all in 2011, because by the time he stood on the first tee, his lead had pretty much evaporated through no fault of his own. And I just wondered, did that get into his head as well? You know, he slept with a 4-shot lead during the night, and by the time he actually walked to the first tee, he was no longer in that position. But so that might spook the likes of Cam Young more so than Rory. I think because of what happened with Rory yesterday, he's not defending anymore. He can maybe play with a little more freedom today, but look, we keep going back to him. If he drives the ball today like he did the first 3 days, it's very hard to see him shooting the 68 or the 69 or even 67 that Shane was talking about. But I think one of the great things about Masters Sunday is that somebody makes a run. And it may not even necessarily be somebody in the top 4 groups. We've seen Mickelson make major runs, Spieth as well, through the field very early on a Sunday afternoon. And even if it's somebody's way down the leaderboard, it'll give us an indication of how the course is playing. I know it could dry out as the day progresses and get a bit crusty as we get later into the day. But if there's someone like a John Rahm, for example, who's way down the leaderboard, or a Hovland, and they're looking like it's possible to shoot a 66, a 65, that'll give us an indication of what the leaders or those closer to the lead might be capable of.
Yeah. Gary, we've only mentioned him in passing, but and he's only here because he got a top 10 at Augusta last year. But Jason Day, who I think almost certainly I he's crept up on me, but is now a veteran of the PGA Tour. He's sitting on -8, playing good golf, has a major to his name. Had a nice 68 yesterday. Like, when you're looking at him play, do you think he factors at all?
Ten years ago, he was top 4 or 5 in the betting for this tournament. Yeah. You know, he had a great run for a couple of years. He should have maybe won it a couple of times. And he's a world-class putter. He's obviously had his physical issues with his back and stuff. He changed his swing a couple of times. But I think he'll be absolutely relishing the opportunity tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that it's new ground, but it's a new lease of life for him to be back in contention for a major. And he has to embrace that and enjoy it and try, like all of them have to do tonight, try to stay out of their own way.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I think if you're looking at Young or Burns or even Lowry, well, maybe a bit of Lowry, but it's exciting for them and to win a Masters, whereas someone like Jason Day, who's been around a bit longer, it's almost like going to be the milestone of his career. I know he's won a PGA and stuff, but he does really embrace the game and the history of the game. So it's trying to put all that stuff to one side and just go and play. But it's trying to marry that aggression with the fear as well. So I think it's wide open. I think, as Dave was saying, we are going to see, you know, guys coming out fast out of the blocks. But then the leaders have those holes to play too. So it doesn't necessarily mean. But I think how the front line shakes up, I think, will determine a lot. And then you'll get the drama of someone making a late charge as well.
Shane, I want to talk about your namesake. So obviously the highlight yesterday was a hole in one on six. Now, okay, first of all, before we get into it, like, the only man to ever have two holes in one at a golf,
yeah,
ever in the history of the tournament. So he aced 16 10 years ago, was it 2016?
Yeah.
But not just that, he had an ace 2 weeks ago. He's aced the seventh at Pebble. I know he's had a couple of iconic, like, I was saying, so obviously we're all in the WhatsApp groups, and my suffering wife, who's like, why are you receiving 722 messages in the space 38 minutes?
And don't forget the Island Green.
And the Island Green, sorry, and the 17th of Sawgrass. So he's aced that one as well. So, like, all, like, what does he need? He needs the postage stamp.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another, but, like, he's basically aced all of the iconic par threes in the world.
Seventh of Pebble Beach.
Seventh of Pebble Beach he's got, yeah. Anyway, look, that the pin, like, given that yesterday, I think statistically, was the easiest Saturday in Augusta history. The average score was 70.6, which is the lowest third round scoring average in Masters history. But that notwithstanding, the pin on six tucked way back left. It wasn't that gettable. And what did he hit? 177 yards, 7 iron. Which is weirdly like the same 7 he used to get the hole in one. Where was it? 2 weeks ago. Anyway, whatever. Lovely line on it, and in. So, what does that say? Like, I mean, obviously, like, there's some obvious things. Is that he's a brilliant ball striker. He hits his iron so beautifully. Like, if you're not close to the flag, you can't get holes in one. So he's getting close to flags. And you know, the old adage of his is that, like, the way you play the par threes is the general indicator of your overall game. And if you play the par threes well, your game's in pretty good shape. Is Shane's game in very, very good shape?
Well, you know, speaking of the holes in one and everything like that, I always joke with Nathan that among all professional players, I think Lowry lives with a horseshoe, as we say in America, up as you know what. Yeah. I just think there's an incredible amount. I mean, he's a great player, and I'm not taking anything away. But as a joke before the Ryder, before Sunday at Bethpage, I said to Nathan on the air, I was like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but somehow Lowry is going to make the winning putt. I just know it. This is just what happens to the guy. Yeah, but it's just, I mean, it was kind of funny and tongue-in-cheek, but it's like, he is always in the perfect position, and he deserves it always to some extent, but he's also very lucky, both in the circumstances of how he goes and in how he executes. So the hole in one, when it went in, it was like, of course, this guy made a hole in one again. It's incredible. I do think his game is really good right now. The cognizant was the ending of it was one of the worst and most unexpected pressure performances I've ever seen, just because of how bad those pair of shots were and how comfortable he looked beforehand.
Yeah.
How good he looked beforehand. And so, I mean, that we've obviously seen a ton of examples where clearly it's pressure, but this is maybe the most clear where those two swings were so bad. But you don't necessarily know what that means. I mean, he's played well under pressure before. Could that be good for him? You know, could it help him? Whatever he went through afterward, is it going to help him today? Or is it going to be the case, which we often see, of bad memories and it kind of repeats itself? So that, I think, is the ultimate question today of once Lowry, if he gets under the gun, let's say he goes 3 under, you know, over the first 5 holes or something like that and finds himself in the mix, how is he going to respond on the back 9? Is he going to be thinking of that right miss that happened in Tampa? Or, or is he ready to go? So that's the only question. But, yeah, in terms of his game, he can certainly win today. I mean, I think he and Rose both have a great chance. It's just that I think Rose has proven himself under pressure a little bit more recently. And so I like him a little bit better.
Gary,
if you look at some of Sorry, Fionn, some of Shane's numbers, like he's number one in the field in shots gained approach. Like his iron play has been absolutely brilliant. And he's overall shot gained tee to green in seventh position. So if he can get some putts to drop, he's going to be in that position that Shane has described going into the back nine. But
The ace helps with strokes gained approach, doesn't it?
That's what I mean.
It's like plus 1.8 in one shot. It
massages those figures. But
he's been great.
We will be watching with real trepidation when Shane is standing over at tee shots on 12, 13, 15, if he has the lead in his hands. Because we know what has happened to him in the last few weeks. He's had two big chances to win this year, and he has thrown it away in spectacular fashion. And this situation he may be presented with tonight beats all of those to a pulp. So fingers crossed that if Shane has a chance tonight, someone else takes it off him if he doesn't win, as opposed to him handing the green jacket to somebody else due to the pressure just becoming too great. We would hate to have to watch that again, but he just seemed to be playing with a real sense of calm at the moment. And he's provided us with some brilliant moments yesterday, even the chip in and the par five on Friday. And some of his putts when they dropped yesterday felt like a Ryder Cup. It was great.
Yeah. Gary, I heard Shane talking on Friday, I think it might have been, where he was saying that he and Neil Manship, that is, were working on that. You know, the most important shot is the next one, et cetera, et cetera. Just staying, keeping that present. Look, I agree with the lads. I think obviously he's putting up good numbers. He's in a good position. But I can't escape the fact that, like, on three occasions this year, like two to win and one to make the cut, he's had massive pressure put on him and just has not been able to kind of execute. And as Dave says, like, that's fine. You know, Dubai is one thing. The Cognizant is another. This is the Masters, you know, and like winning this arguably is as big as, if not bigger than winning, you know, his home open. And
I agree with that. Like, I think his mentality is going to be different going out today. His mentality at Cognizant is, yeah, I'm the favorite. I'm probably on paper the best player here. I've a great record around here. I should win. Today, it's a different mindset to that. He has to go out and probably think he has to play as well as he possibly can. And that's a more aggressive emotion, I think. I think he performs better in that environment. I think he's better at that than maybe being the out-and-out favourite for something. But as all great players do, they learn from their mistakes. Like, everyone hits bad shots and messes up. It's if you continue to repeat it, well, therein lies the story. But he has to take the positives out of the situations he's been in and gone, okay, well, that happened there. Why did that happen? And be brutally honest with himself. And if he perhaps has done that, that will give him a bit more clarity coming down the stretch tonight. I think the role of all the caddies tonight is going to be phenomenally important. Keep them chatting, keep them busy, keep their mind off things in between shots, and then nail them down and get them focused when they have to execute, and not get lonely and quiet out there, and certainly not be flapping. You don't want any of those guys doing that. So even for Rory, you know, Harry has done some phenomenal work in certain situations, and I think they're going to have to, you know, lean on the caddy a lot tonight as well. And trust what they hear. That's the hardest thing at times. You know, if the information has been imparted onto you, and you got to trust that. If, you know, the guys have been alongside you, know you inside out, and just have total faith and trust in what you're doing, and then try execute it. And if you don't execute, that's fine. But not executing a shot because of indecision is, you know, the killer for all these guys tonight.
Gary, can I ask you? And Shane, perhaps you might have something to say on this as well. Is just that, like, look, you look at the scoring at Augusta, and it's average. You know, it's pretty good. Like, you know, you'll see winners on, you know, double figure under par. So it's not playing, you know, British Open plus one conditions. But for years and years and years, I always hear, oh, Augusta is a true test of golf. Is it the slopes? Is it the fact that you very rarely will find a flat lie? Is it the nature of the greens? Is it the runoffs? Is it what, like, if you had to kind of summarize what makes Augusta so mentally taxing for those who play it, what is the thing that makes Augusta the ultimate challenge or the ultimate test of every player's best golf?
There's probably three or four things. It's the prize on offer is the number one thing. It's the undulating fairways, the hanging lies, and the swirly wind. You know, what do all those things just add up to indecision? And then you have a load of agua sing gas around the place, which doesn't help either. And then there's the fear factor that the sport itself creates. So that's what all these guys have to overcome tonight. But I think it's kind of stood the test of time. If you think how far Rory's hitting the ball and 11 under is leading, like his numbers off the tee, it's like me playing off the red tees. Like he's averaging about 340 yards or something.
Yeah, it's actually shocking. Some of the numbers he's putting up. Just some comments. Well, it seems like Dermot Keenan and Davey Hogg are having their own private conversation in the thing. Well, Dermot has a question, a quick question. I heard Laura Davies on the Sky podcast saying she believes that Rory needs to start in the first with his 3-wood instead of driver, which he has been struggling with. Thoughts? I mean, it's that bunker, right, isn't it, that just kind of is in his eye all the time, and he either has to fly it or try and squeeze it out left of it. What do you think, Shane?
My stepdad was telling me this yesterday. He goes, why doesn't he just not use driver off the tee? He's up 6. But the problem is, this is his greatest strength. He's the best driver of the golf ball in the world. And I don't think you can all of a sudden not dance with the one that brung you, right? I mean, I think you have to play to your strengths and just say, if this doesn't work, if driver lets me down this week and I lose because of that, that's life. But the way he scores, the way he plays so well is because he drives the ball a mile and is relatively accurate with it. So I just think, yeah, to come out with a mindset like that, I can see where you're arriving at that thought that, oh, well, what if we just play conservative on the first hole and get us established? But what good does it do to come out in a defensive mindset? Like, yeah, really? Like, whatever you might gain from that 3-wood, which is, you know, again, up in the air, we don't know for sure what would happen. You're taking a hypothetical. To come out in a defensive, scared mindset, how does that affect you the rest of the day? I just don't think that's good psychological strategy. I think you come out, you say, I'm going to play, I'm going to do the thing that I do best, we're going to go for it, and if I lose, I lose. It just wasn't my week. But we've got to play to our strengths here. Otherwise, we're kind of beating ourselves in our brains before it even starts.
Mm. Double Tap Donald wants to know, is Dave McIntyre moonlighting as the commentator for the 250 at Chepstow?
We'll have to do that as soon as we're wrapping up here.
Yeah.
As an American, I love hearing stuff like that because I have absolutely no clue what it means. I'm like, oh, that's funny National. To somebody.
I've been like to do it to a horse racing commentator, Shane.
But what's the joke? Why are they saying that you're...
It's the microphone I'm using.
Yes. Oh, got it. Okay, yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Durham says, I cashed out my 10 euro win bet on Rory yesterday morning for 94 euro and then bet 20 euro on Ian Maximus to win the National at 8-1. I didn't trust Rory to finish the job off when he was 6 shots clear. There was, Davey also says, all the experts, and using air quotes around experts, had handed Rory the jacket after round 2, to which I'm going to say in defense of the experts, I don't believe that they did. I don't think anyone did. I 6-shot lead on a Friday is, what did you say, Gary? Is the money isn't paid out on a Saturday? It's or a Friday
for that. No one ever gets paid on a Saturday, so.
Yeah.
He's got on a Friday night, he's got about 20 miles left with a bag full of indecision. So how is that a money on shot?
Yeah, I haven't seen, or perhaps in fairness, Davey, you saw, or Dermot, you saw some other people say that, oh, the thing is a lock. But anyone I listened to or spoke to was, you know, obviously, on Friday night, he was in brilliant position. Although I do enjoy people go, yeah, sleeping on a 6-shot lead is never easy. I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it before.
I think if he drives it straight tonight, it's pretty hard to see him not breaking 70. And that's going to be very, very close. I think if he can drive it straighter, obviously he's not going to hit every fairway, but he can feed off the rhythm of that. If he's struggling with a two-way miss with his driver, that can eke into his iron play. I think if he gets into a good flow, if he can belt one up the first, down the hill on the second, hammer it up around the third, that might settle him down. I think if he hits it anywhere near the fairway tonight, he's going to be very hard to get by.
Okay. Lads, I'm conscious that, Shane, I know you have other obligations, so we're going to wrap it up. But before we do, I want to get your predictions for, you know, just for a bit of fun, because obviously you can all read the future really, really well. So I'll start with you, Dave.
I think either McIlroy or Rose will win tonight.
Ooh, okay. So Rose to come out of the backfield or McIlroy to do what Gary's describing.
Yeah, like Rose is just three back. There's only four guys between him and the green jacket. So it's not like he has to leapfrog a large number of players. I think his putter will warm up at some point today and he's going to shoot 68 minimum, which would get him to 12. And then obviously everybody else needs to shoot under par for them to match that. If McIlroy drives the ball straight, he's going to give himself so many chances. I can't see anybody else beating him, but that is such an enormous if, given some of the spaces that he's found himself. There was one shot he hit on Friday. It was yesterday on the par five, where he had to get the entire crowd to move back about 25 meters.
Oh, yeah.
I can't recall seeing somebody there.
Or something. It was weird. It didn't go nearly as far as he thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think McIlroy or Rose. Gary, who's your...
I think McIlroy wins tonight. I think he wins in the playoff.
Ooh.
I don't know who's going to be the other guy.
Jesus, what if it's Rose again, Gary?
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe go for Sam Burns in the playoff.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. Shane.
All right. Wyndham Clark starts out the day as the guy surging. He's going to get to 9-under. People are going to go, could he do it? He's not going to do it. Everybody else is going to play kind of mediocre in that 6-7 range. Scotty's going to get to 10-under at the turn, but he's going to cool off. He's going to make a bogey at number 11. Justin Rose is going to play well. He's going to be 2-under at the turn. He's going to creep up. Sam Burns is not going to play well. Lowry's not going to play well. Rory is going to fail to birdie any of the first four holes. He's going to end with a 36 on the front and be kind of back. Cam Young is going to surge. He's going to come back to the field a little bit. Justin Rose is going to tie him on the back nine. He's going to be in the clubhouse watching again. Cam Young is going to birdie 18 to win by a shot.
But you haven't thought about this at all.
Can you be more specific, Shane?
Yeah, sorry. What exactly are you trying to tell us here? You're so vague. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, what if it's all, you know, every once in a while you have to give. No, here's what you should do. All the time you should give a very specific thing, because once in your life it will hit, and that's the only one. Then you play that over and over to go, wow, look how smart this guy is.
For me, I think Scheffler's going to make a good run. He might even figure out how to birdie any of the par fives on the backside, which he has failed to do for the first 3 days. But I think I just feel he's just a shot or two shy. And I think it'll come down. I think there'll be some interesting play behind him. But ultimately, I think the winner's going to be McIlroy or Young. And given that Young has momentum, I'm going to go with Cam Young.
It's nice to see one of the Irish guys not have the blinders on.
I would love to have McIlroy and Larry in a playoff, and whoever plays the best wins. But you know, I just think that, like, I just think in this instance, now, you know, I'd like to be proven wrong, but I just feel that Young has momentum, and I think momentum is a lot. But you know, Gary's not wrong. If Rory can just drive the ball straight. If he can hit it, you know, even just hit a good tee ball on 17, you know, instead of just finding those woods left. Anyway, look, whatever it is, it's wide open. It's incredibly exciting. I wish you all a wonderful Masters Sunday, and we will regroup on Tuesday for a recap. Although, mind you, I'm going to say this now, make an executive decision. Sorry, Brona, but if either McIlroy or Shane win, we're going to have to meet tomorrow. to have like a Monday pod because you just, you couldn't not.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, lads, listen, have a brilliant Masters Sunday and we'll talk soon.
Enjoy, everyone.
See you guys. Bye, everybody. See you guys. But I reside right here in Dardanelle, all picket town. Little J.D. Starter kid right here.